other things going on in the background. And we were assigned this opportunity to essentially make sure the ELF would have a Swiss representative on the field. So yeah, I mean, at the same time, it's a shame. You really need those 4, 5, 6, 8 months to prepare for a season. And I think, Coach, that was one of the things that we talked about as well, because you're like, Matt, I'd love to, but it's just not realistic. You're asking like me to turn water into wine here. And I was like, yeah, that was kind of the hope. But, you know, so I'm happy. I'm excited. I think we have a very good group that's moving at a breakneck speed. We're going to hit hurdles along the way. But like I said, the previous ownership did things in a way that was potentially not correct. That for sure was not correct. It was potentially not ethical. That was, you know.
New week is starting, and today we speak English, but shortly we can start maybe in German for some seconds, and then we'll switch over to English. So herzlich willkommen, dass ihr heute wieder mit dabei seid. Wir haben ein spezielles Interview für euch, kommen wir gleich mit dazu. Mein Name ist wie immer Johannes Reude, leidenschaftlicher Podcast-Moderator, und bei mir ist wieder einer der erfahrensten Headcoaches Europas, Martin Hanselmann.
Hallo, alle zusammen.
Yeah, and now we will directly start with our guest, because we got a question from one of our listeners. It was, I think it was Fabian. He wrote me if it would be possible, when Martin already talked with the Helvetic mercenary. He mentioned GM, but I think you're not the GM, but we can talk this later. Maybe we can invite you. So now we have here Matt Hammer. He is the director of sports from the new franchise, I would say, the Helvetic Mercenaries. Hello, Matt.
Hello, how are you guys doing today? Thank you very much for having me. It's going to be a hopefully nice chat.
Yeah, it's great that you have time. And before we start, Martin, maybe you can tell how long do you know Matt? What is your connection?
Oh, well, I know his name longer than Matt by himself. He's a familiar name in Europe football. It's a small family, football family here in Europe. Actually, we talked the first time together 2 weeks ago, I think, 2 or 3 weeks ago. But I know the name. I knew the name before that, because Matt is involved in football here in Europe, and he played in the CFL and was there. So that's pretty much the connection we have, Matt, isn't it? Like that?
Yeah. I think, I mean, it's a very similar for me. I obviously know Martin through football. He's very predominant, obviously one of the leading German coaches in Europe. And obviously not very long ago, I had to start a hunt for a new head coach for the Mercenaries. And Martin was one of the top people on my list and somebody I reached out to. Of course, it's not necessarily the easiest thing to arrange a head coach in such a short time. There's lots of other commitments that the people you would want have. But I think we've done really well given our timing and situation. And there was lots of conversations on the go, but Martin was one of them. Yes. And that's the first time we really had a long conversation.
That's pretty much it, Johannes. Yeah. and it went through Cheche, Coach Cheche Payet, I think.
Yeah. He was the one who kind of said, hey, you should consider Martin. And then I did a little research and further. And it would have been a potentially great match, I think. But of course, like I said, timing is very difficult when you're asking someone to change their life around in 2 or 3 weeks. So it really has to be a perfect situation to find the right person.
Yeah. And for us here, Switzerland is like also 5 or 6 hours or so away.
It's not a daily drive that you can make. It would be moving.
Yeah. But before we go more into this, you're from Canada, but you also, maybe you can tell it by yourself.
So,
yeah. So what is your connection to Europe?
Yeah, sure. I'm Canadian born, but I grew up, my father is Austrian. So I grew up really in the Austrian tradition, Oktoberfest, folklore, Schuhplättling, Bavarian style.
You can do
style.
Schuhplättling, yeah?
I can Schuhplättle, yeah. I can do a little bit of Plättle here and there, and the waltzing, of course. I guess that's where the DB, where I got my feet from, my DB feet from, maybe. Yeah, so I grew up in Canada. I ended up being a multi-sport athlete. They saw that several sports, track, basketball, soccer, football, and eventually made the decision to focus on football in university. Got drafted 4 years later to the Saskatchewan Roughriders in the CFL. Spent a couple of years there, mostly on practice roster, unfortunately. Didn't get the opportunity to play very much. But my best friend growing up was an all-Canadian receiver. Who also didn't get drafted, and he ended up coming over for a job to Switzerland. And then post my contract in CFL, it was an opportunity to come over and check Europe out a little bit. And I had intended actually to settle down more in Austria, to get closer to my family's roots. But my first stop was in Switzerland, and it didn't really make it much further than that. So I've been here now for 23 years.
Oh.
Or so. So ich kann auch ein bisschen Deutsch sprechen, aber das ist ein bisschen schwierig mit Business oder Business Deutsch und etwas, aber socially I'm okay.
Okay. So what is your experience in Switzerland then? Because like Germany is different than Switzerland and Switzerland different than Austria and so on. So
Yeah.
how's your experience there?
Well, I've spent obviously some time visiting family and friends in Austria, and I had the opportunity to play with the Austrian national team when I first came over here, which was quite an honor. I think everyone around the world is always and should be always proud to say they had an opportunity to play for a national team. I think it sometimes is overlooked as to how special that is, but that was a really good experience for me. And Germany, my wife's family is from Germany, and she's grown up in Germany, and so I've got really kind of the experience of all three of the main German cultures. And Switzerland, of course, is a very amazing country. It's got, I mean, the best of everything. It's small, it's easy to get around. You can set your watch to the public transport. It's very efficient. And I've had the opportunity to see how football's grown here, because I've came over originally and played for 10 years, and then moved over to the national team coaching since then, and now on to the project with the ELF here. So football's definitely been every moment along the way, and I think Switzerland, while it's a little bit behind Germany and Austria in terms of the development of American football, it's on its way. We're starting to have some of those prime time players that can really stand out in it, like the Tim Hennies, the Dominic Leithdees. John Falk was a tackle leader in the ELF last year, and so some of these kind of athletes are starting to poke up, and there's athletes more and more getting scholarships over to the States. Hopefully when they come back, we'll have every year, an influx of new talent, which helps us compete more with Austria and Switzerland.
And how is the development then from football side in Switzerland? So was it also like in Germany the last 9 or 10 years the football hype is rising and if everybody what is watching NFL, how is it in Switzerland?
Well, I think it is growing. I mean, last year we obviously it was the Guards. Last year was the foundation of the first team in the ELF, and now we're the Mercenaries, which is a completely different ownership group, a completely different management and that structure. But you could see last year very clearly that there was a lot of naysaying at this beginning, which is maybe typical for any type of upstart. But by the end of the year, every game there was more attendance. The crowd was extremely into the game. You could see that there's a following beginning to go there, and it's really a shame that the Guards have kind of been put to bed. It's not really the people that were working there or the players that had anything to do with that not functioning, but yeah, in any kind of professional sports arena or in any business arena, really. It only takes one or two wrong moves or wrong actions to sort of dismantle everything that was progressing. I'm hopeful that will continue to pick up and leave off where the guards did, and that we can continue to build that momentum. But definitely over the last 10 years, it's gained traction. The sport has more viewers all the time. People, I think, understand and follow the NFL a lot more than they did when I was here 20 years ago. I mean, the opportunities are there now too, right? It's not, you get the ability with streaming and everything else for people to see college games and the NFL a little bit more readily than in the past.
So the interest is like kind of similar growing than in Germany, because like I mentioned, Germany on ProSieben, they were showing football games in 2015, I think, also from regular season. And then it was starting to getting bigger and bigger.
I think Germany is obviously a little bit different market because they had so much exposure with the NFL Europe. So there's that opportunity there. It also is important that you have a really strong program, a winning program, and then you help have followers. I mean, in the end of my playing days, I was part of the Callander Broncos dynasty that was built there by Walter Trubule and all the people around Coeur that really love and believe in American football, and they're flourishing still to the day. But you could tell at that time we were getting, 1,200, 1,500 people to a game, which was considerably large for a Swiss audience at that time. And then I think since that team has kind of gone down, it's sort of fizzled down a little bit. And then now again, with the upstart of the ELF and really good football coming into the country, you could see the audiences grew every week. So until we were for the final game, I think around 3,150 or something was the final game last year. So it's there. There is interest, and now it's a matter of finding the right home base, the right location where that everyone can come from all directions, and hopefully we can continue to grow the sport, and we end up, with some of these audiences that they get in Germany or Austria or elsewhere, where they're in the fives and even tens of thousands. Would be a dream.
Yeah, hopefully so. So, because this was also a question from Fabian, what is your vision now with the Helvetic Mercenaries?
So, I mean, the vision is clear that we need to develop local talent. We need to be a place where all the young youth athletes have an opportunity to aspire to. I think football in general, it's difficult because we're just one team. We're not a Verein. We don't have a youth club yet, although we're going to probably work on some of those relationships. We need to, as a club, do some of the things that were planned last year that never came to fruition. For example, like the youth camps and coaching clinics and these type of things need to be offered so that we can get interest. I think there's a lot of other things that can be done too, especially even at the local games in terms of raising interest. I think certain things that the league should consider as a whole is something like the kick punt pass competition at the halftime or whatever, or pregame, where you have a bunch of kids who get the honor to compete, and after each game, and then in the last game of the year, each of the champions from the previous weeks gets the opportunity to have a final, and then the winner of that gets maybe tickets to the championship game to compete against the winners from each of the other clubs. And I think those kind of things within football can really grow the interest of the youth. And now that we have sort of an opportunity to get paid, maybe some of those great athletes who go play handball and soccer and everything else will say, okay, well, I could maybe go do something in football. All right. It's still sort of very semi-professional at this stage, but the group that we're talking about is much younger. So maybe in 5 or 10 years, it will be to a point where people can sort of live on their ability to play football, which would be a dream for, I think, everyone in Europe who loves the sport.
I mean, Martin, you had a similar situation at the Stuttgart Surge. The new league was starting, new team was starting. You also wanted to have like the youth out of the region who is playing for this. So do you think this is similar there?
No, I think Matt has a different situation. Like he said, in Germany, football is a little bit more grown, more youth players. I'm in contact with the Swiss football since years. I'm very involved with Mario from the Vienna Jets.
Mm-hmm.
I was there, had some camps there, and about my knowledge of football in Switzerland is it's tough. And at this time when I was there, it is hard to get a team together because these young athletes have so much other stuff to do. First of all, they're working longer than we in Germany. Then I think they have to make a military time way longer than it is in Germany. And then sometimes for a whole season, they have to go to military. And so this is these are really things that, that stop the development of an athlete sometimes. So it's a very tough situation, I think. But like Matt said, the interesting growth, the people, the audience grow there. And these are all signs and signals that football is there at the right moment and the right place. And I'm sure Matt is doing a great job in like he said, with these youth programs before the games, during the games, invite people, invite school classes and things like that. These are very important to grow better and faster in the next years. And developing youth players or young players, the German league, the Federation League, is so much bigger in Germany than it's easier to find and recruit players from this than it is in Switzerland. So in my opinion, I think it's a lot of development. It's a lot of working with the fundamentals of the players, explain them how it is to become a pro athlete. What for me doesn't mean that he gets paid. It means that his attitude is a pro. And I'm sure this is what you will do a lot, is just explain people what it takes to become a professional athlete and all these thinking, his mental, how do you say that, attitude to become an athlete on this level of football.
Yeah, I agree, Martin. I think, you know, there, especially in the north, coming from the North American side, yeah, where it's so much more prevalent that athletes want to be football players. And I mean, becoming a professional athlete at any type, anywhere, it's an elite thing. And you know, when the following or the interest of the athletes is less, it becomes a little less prestigious, but it still takes a particular effort. It takes, you know, focusing on your, it takes basically all your time that you can afford to do it. And then, like you said, right now, the athletes that we do have are often, you know, committed to other things. They have their internships, and they have their work, and they have their military service, and they have school, and they have a lot of things going on, just as you mentioned. So it takes a special breed to do it, in particularly in the ELF way. I think it's even a little bit more difficult than the North American way, where, you know, you can manage to live even in the CFL on what you make. And obviously the NFL is not a problem that way, but it takes a very gritty type of person with the right type of love for the game and the right type of work ethic to try and succeed in the European model.
Yeah, that's, and I think that's probably the main work, even from the coaching staff, is just finding these type of people and work with these people and then already get the next generation of these people.
We have to do a good job of making it attractive for them as well, right?
That's
the tricky part, because you know, and very much in our situation right now, we have a wonderful core of athletes who really just want to play. Like you said, they have the right mindset, they just want to play in the ELF. They appreciate the opportunity, and they're very supportive in us trying to keep the ELF here, because the only other option would have been just to shut it down and And then, you know, everyone would have suffered, really, all across the country. Everyone would have suffered, especially the athletes. Some of the coaches that have been committed, they would have had to, you know, go back, find other teams, do whatever else. Some players might not even have found a team for a year, and losing a year of football is not, it's not like you can do it for 30 years. Usually, I mean, the odd person does, but you know, you have a limited lifespan of football, and 20, 23 to 30 is essentially your prime years. And you losing one of those years is detrimental to your whole outlook towards the sport and everything. So I think it's important people realize that what we're trying to do here in Switzerland with the mercenaries is essentially save ELF football for Switzerland. And we require everyone's support along the way. And a lot of people, like I said, within that core of athletes who have committed to working through this difficult situation, have the right attitude, and we appreciate them for it. Without them, we couldn't do it. So,
how is the connection in Switzerland between other teams like Vereine and now the franchise ELF? How close is the connection?
So in Switzerland, we haven't had the problem as much as Germany has had with in terms of the federation and the ELF. So we're on very good terms. We try to keep communications open. We still need to develop a process of how it's going to be. So something that provides some form of an advantage for us to potentially ask a player to come and play for us. Rather than it coming across like we're stealing players from their development. Switzerland, again, like many of the teams don't have 50, 45, 50, 60 players available. So losing a player at any time is detrimental. And of course, then you're usually losing one of your better players as well. So there's something that we're going to work on as the mercenaries with the SAV and with all the local teams to try and come up with a system. And whether that is, it's not going to be a financial payment, not like soccer. That's not going to be a situation. Football is not that kind of sport. But there might be things we can do to help their youth develop further. So for example, if we're running our youth camps and we have a player that we would like to sign, if they sign, maybe we offer them four entries to the youth camp and they can send four athletes to the camp and free of charge. We can send coaches to the coaching clinics that we offer with our import coaches and so forth, and the things we develop that way. So I think there's ways to sort of help them develop. And if we can help them develop, they're going to help us develop. So it's got to be a win-win for everybody involved. And we're lucky that the federation itself here is quite supportive of our movement and what we're trying to do. That's we great. Have a lot to put in place. I mean, right now we're working on more critical issues, but that's definitely on the discussion, and it has already had that discussion as well.
Martin, do you want to add something?
that's good. What Matt sets up there in the Switzerland, and they have great athletes. I worked with a couple of them last year with Michael Kimpiapi, who played for me. So he's for example, he's a great athlete. And you have also in the Switzerland very good football camps or sport camps from the federation or the government. So if you can use this for these camps, and like Matt said, important is, it's a long view thing. It's not just for 1 or 2 years. If football is growing in Switzerland with the ELF and with the federation, then things would be going the right way and people are interested and you get more players. And if players like that, if they have fun, they start with football and then you can grow and develop players. And that's what we really want. And everybody wants, I hope, in Europe, is developing young players and young athletes, because there are so many young football athletes and talents in Europe, and they have a chance to go one day maybe to the United States and play high school, play college football, or stay here in his country playing for his national team. These are all opportunities, and to build up and create these type of opportunities, I think is a big part of all football organizations. It doesn't matter whether it's ELF or AFVD or SAF in Switzerland. That's a big part. That's a big point for sports at all, to
Yeah.
bring people together and develop them.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to see the athletes getting the opportunity to make those trips a little bit more now from Europe to the to
Yes.
these really, I mean, not just over to colleges, but to Div 1 colleges and play really at the most elite level. And of
Yeah.
course, we're in this NIL era now, which is a very unique thing for everything going on as well. Something that I haven't even experienced in my time playing. But you know, there's opportunities out there that are growing and growing and you know, we would be crazy not to think and believe that more and more of the European market will end up in the NFL. It's just a matter of time. So.
Yes, that's true, yes.
As you're from Canada, what do you think a young player, should he go to USA to high school or college, or maybe also go to Canada for growing the football knowledge? What do you
Well,
think?
I don't think you can go too far wrong. I mean, obviously the American side of the border has American football and we have Canadian football, which is slightly different. I mean, we still have a football, we still have a field, but it's not the same size, neither of them. And of course you're learning football at both locations, right? You're being exposed to great coaches on both sides of the border. You're being exposed to all the reps that you get when you're practicing 5 days a week, and all the film days that you get, and everything that you do with strength and conditioning coaches, you get that on both sides of the border. I went to Canadian University. I had some minor offers in several different sports on the US side, but financially it wasn't the right thing to do at that time. The Canadian dollar was very weak to the American dollar, so I stayed on the Canadian side. And I managed still to have a career that even though I didn't play very much, I accomplished something that I'm really proud of. And then I was able to come over to Europe and really make an impact over here for another 10 years afterwards. You know, got to play, win many national championships here, play with the Austrian national team, won an AFF Cup here with the Broncos, won an Euro Bowl with the Broncos. And so, I mean, I think you can develop on either side of the border, but if you wanted to make a choice between Alabama or Guelph, you might want to go to Alabama if you have the option. So
That's a good quote. Well, but I talk with many young players at the moment about this opportunity, going to the US at a high school, or going to Canada or whatever. And as a coach, I feel sometimes it's really tough and very hard to explain from my side. First of all, it is an experience. So many young kids, they already dream from the NFL. What is right? I don't want to say, hey, don't dream. Dreams are very important for young people, but I always tell these young guys, hey, first of all, it is an experience, and it's a great experience being in a different culture, doing what you love to do, playing football. And dream from the NFL, but don't expect it, because these expectations are so, it's far. It's
Yeah, it's rare. It's
really,
hard.
yeah, it's hard. It's different, because you have to deal with and compete with so many great athletes there. And this is what I feel sometimes with young athletes. Their dreams are very, very high, and their expectations are very, very high. And sometimes I think, hey, just play ball and have fun, enjoy it as long as you can, because there will be a time that you cannot play anymore. You have to coach then. If you want to be involved in this sport, you have to coach. But just enjoy your time playing football. It doesn't matter on what level it is.
And I think like you said, the experience of it too. I mean, if you have the opportunity to go for a year or two or more, depending on what your opportunity is, it's like you said, even after playing, you'll come back over to Europe to home, and you'll bring so much knowledge base with you that when playing does finally end, and it does for all of us, You have something that you can still be attached to the sport
Yes.
and really enjoy it and share that knowledge. So, I mean, not that athletes aren't learning over here the same way, but it's just they don't have such the exposure that we had in North America in terms of like 5 days a week or two a days for 3 weeks during preseason, and like where you're just doing like 30, 35, 40 practices in a row. And you have film and medical staffs and all that stuff there to keep you out there healthy. But what you learn and is, through the techniques and the coaching is stuff that you can all bring back to Europe and maybe make it a little easier for the next generation to sort of accomplish a dream that's a little bit bigger.
We are still pioneers of the game here in Europe. Still pioneers for that. But this is exactly what we talked very often here in this podcast, is that the different school system, the different sports culture we have, and the opportunity to be an athlete in the United States or in Canada is for a young athlete so much more than it is here. Because here in Europe, we go, hey, you need to be good in math, you need to be good in languages, you need to be good in physics and biology, and all these things. And if it comes to sport, nobody says it's part of your education. It's sport. Oh, yeah, it's sport. It's, well, yeah, you have sports. Well, it's in my opinion, it is part of the education. And sport can give you so much. But it's just a different culture, and if you have the chance and the opportunity to realize it and to live it for 1 or 2 years in the United States, it's a great opportunity. It's a great experience, what you probably will never forget. Unfortunately, Matt, many players who played college football, they quit in Germany then when they came back. If they don't make the big league, they came back and they quit, because then it's different. Then it's so different, and it's
This is a shame for sure. Because like we just said in the last remark, I mean, what they could bring back is so valuable to all the other people that are trying to accomplish something themselves. And inevitably every generation is a little bit taller, a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger, but they still need somebody who can give them a little bit more knowledge as well. I do notice that over here as well. We have, sometimes athletes who come back from over there and they're like, oh, I'm just gonna get a job, I'm just gonna do this, I'm not gonna coach or play, and unfortunately you end up with some really, I mean, we could field a better team. It would be possible, but they're just not willing to do that. And it doesn't make it right or wrong. It's just a choice that they
No.
make. And but I agree. I mean, I have a young my I have a son who's 8 years old, and of course right now he's always wanting he's upset because he can't play tackle football yet. And but it's not an opportunity here in Switzerland until 16, which is also something that's very difficult. I mean, everybody in North America is playing at 6 years old tackle football, and they don't really get hurt. They're not really big enough and fast enough to hurt each other, but it's a great fun to watch. And so he's always saying, let's move back to Canada. Let's move to kick America. Let's go somewhere. I want to play football. But he's playing soccer, and he also has these aspirations and dreams, as like you mentioned, of, oh, maybe I want to be a professional soccer player or whatever. But the difference in the sport, in the educational systems with sports is for me very a touching subject, because I grew up and athletics was everything for me. And in the North American schools in Canada, you have the opportunity to do basketball and soccer and track and football and swimming and everything in the school.
Let me ask you this question to you. What percentage do you think was sports in your educational development, and how much was school subjects and the quality of what it brings? Because when you discuss with people here, they go like, yeah, but the quality of things sport brings to you are not as good as qualities in other classes.
Yeah, I mean, I could say I probably did sports between from fifth grade is when I started on the team sports
Mm.
in the schools. And from that age on, I probably spent at least 2 hours a day, if not three, and or potentially more, doing athletics of some sort, whether it's physical education class every day for an hour, the lunchtime activities, which are always set up for co-ed sports and sort of things like this, and then your actual team sports for the school that you're representing. So it was very easily 2 or 3 hours just within the school. And then, of course, if you're a good athlete or you have parents who really push that athletics, then you end up going to a club team somewhere as well. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was some days that I had 4 hours of sports in a day on a regular school day. You know, this is where athletes get developed, especially at a young age. I don't know. It's like, it was really important, and I think it teaches a lot. I mean, I don't know if Europeans give it enough credit, because my wife's European and obviously sees things sometimes in a different way. And I'm very proactive on they should all do sports. And, you know, you learn teamwork, and you learn work ethic, and you learn how to fight through tough times, and you learn how to lose, and you learn how to enjoy winning, and you learn camaraderie. And there's all kinds of things that create amazing character and people that are learned through sports. Of course, other things like reading and writing and mathematics are vital to the success of anybody as well, but they can be incorporated.
Yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts and about the school system and the culture. I'm very often discussions about that. Even when I'm in the States, and I already said that one time I met Eric Osmo, who played for me for years in the GFL, and he's now a teacher in the States, and we talked about this this topic, and he said, yeah, but see, in my class, four of my kids would need help and support in reading and writing,
yeah,
but the school doesn't have enough money because it goes to the sports. Complexes, because they build new facilities. Well, it's always a discussion about it, and I think it's important to discuss about it. But I also feel that sport is very important, maybe especially for these kids who need support in writing and reading, because they also need success. They need the moment of success, and maybe they have it in shooting a basketball or playing ball or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I think that obviously the kids that probably have most of those difficulties, there's, you know, certain ones that have disorders, dyslexia, whatever,
sure.
There's certain natural disorders, but a lot of kids that are so low on the totem pole in terms of the abilities for simple reading and stuff, they're probably coming from environments that aren't conducive to them being, you know,
maybe,
taught
yeah.
or having parents around, or, you know, maybe they're a single parent and that they just have to work to provide food. There's a very different environment in North America that way as well. And luckily enough, most of the universities in Canada, at least, and I'm sure in the States as well, if you accomplish certain things athletically and get scholarships, they do provide you the opportunity to have tutors and all those things to make sure that you keep your grade levels to the point that you can play.
Yeah.
So maybe they're doing it for the different reason, but it also helps you, you know, make sure that you can continue to learn and get further developed. It's a fine line, obviously. There's no right or wrong. I probably the North American model is a little too sports orientated potentially, and the European model is too not sports orientated. Maybe they'll eventually find a.
Maybe we should mix it. We should mix
maybe
it up.
There's a fine mix that can be done with globalization and online learning and everything else that happens. One of the things I'd love to see, though, and is that there would be more sports associated with the school. I really believe the joy. I mean, even as a young kid, I remember like you just root and cheer for the other teams at your school, the girls volleyball team, the men's soccer team, even though you're playing football, or the hockey team. And you have this sort of memories of the university and supporting everybody there as a whole.
But this is really a culture problem. It's just that our sport is, if you put it as a triangle, we are on the bottom, and with the bottom we try to go up to the top. So the selection is through the clubs with volunteers, and many kids can go to the clubs and got volunteer coaches, and then just a couple of these athletes get the next step with the talent to make the top. And in the States, I think you select the tops early in the school systems, that you see the best athletes, the most talented people, and you can support them. And but it's tough because it's a culture, and it's so many years developed that you cannot just switch it. And even if we're sitting here and say, hey, we should mix it a little bit better. You need a political way to find it. You need to be a lobbyist to go to the politicians and say, hey, we should mix it, we should change it. And it takes years. It takes a
long time.
Or you start it by yourself and do private schools or whatever and try to find another system. Schools. But that's then you need a lot of money to do that.
It's a little bit it's similar to the euro, right? The eurozone is a wonderful idea, but it's very difficult because of the different cultures are thousands of years in a certain way.
That's a great example. That's a great example, Matt, because that's exactly what it is. It's so many traditions are in that, where people go like, oh, why should we change that? Or and we all know it's tough to change. It's tough to let new things going on and make it a habit and make it just getting comfortable, feeling comfortable with that. But it would help. It would help European football and European sports for sure.
Yeah, that's the issue with us and the ELF and trying to grow this sport, right? It's not the cultural foundation of sport, the cream of the crop. Is soccer, obviously. I mean, that's where all your really, really elite athletes are going, because of that's where the financial gains are. But eventually we're going to get to a tipping point, and every year there's going to be a little bit more market, a little bit more market, and eventually it's going to just avalanche. And if we're lucky enough, we'll be young enough to really enjoy that for a few of the good years before we hand it off to somebody else.
That's right. That's true. There's still coaching in me to go and go out and just teach young people and young talents football. That's still fun.
Yeah.
So Johannes, we took over. Sorry.
You took over.
Johannes got the two questions today.
He has a long list, I'm sure. Yeah, still, I also have two questions from Sebastian Mühlenhof. So, but at first, maybe go back to last season. It was the first season for you. You already have been director of sports last season for the Helvetic Guards. So how was your first season? Also, you had the big win against the Stuttgart Surge, who had a really good run. So how was the last season, the first season for you?
So, my position last year was a title, I suppose, more than anything. Wasn't really that I had any authority to do much. There was a lot of limited resources, so I didn't. A lot of different jobs just on my own to keep the team going forward.
For example,
I did water boy. I did video recording for Huddle. I did all the equipment management. I did logistics, traveling people around. I did all the sewing of the uniforms. I did, did all the helmets, obviously the stuff related to equipment, the away games, home games. I did all the field lining. I did all the field maintenance in terms of cutting the fields, washing. And we had a turf field in Veal, which was a nice stadium, but we had to wash the fields after each game as well, to get the lines off the field, which was another 25-hour time commitment to wash the field lines off. It goes on and on and on. So I guess I was the director of sport, but I was the director of sport and everything else pretty much. There was not enough resources that are not organized in the right kind of way that could make it effective. Luckily enough, on game days, everything came together and the support of volunteers and everything was, you know, very helpful. And we put together a nice product on game day. And we only won three games last year. But it was enough to, it was enough. And the games we won were very exciting, obviously, especially against the Surge, who ended up in the final. Right. Kind of showed that there is that glimmer of hope and that glimmer of ability there that you can play at this level. But there was a lot of things that just, let me say that there was a lot of hurdles that got in the way of good football.
Okay, and now, because this was also a question from Fabian, so now what were the reason for canceling the guards and now starting with the mercenaries?
So I haven't really been involved with the guards since pretty much the last game of the season. As soon as there was no work to be done, then the owner of the operation essentially removed, released, asked everyone, pushed people out who were vital in what was going on and how things were getting done. The situation wasn't that, you know, we were planning. I was not expecting to be involved in football at all this year, because I had understood, and even has having been an investor in the guards, been part of the very original founding group that brought the guards here, which then was, as everyone knows, a late transfer to another owner the very close to the start of the season last year. And everything was again in a situation where it was a last minute try and produce everything, which it was highly expected that this season would be the season that would be the breakout, because now you have from September onward to prepare and get everything done. But the current owner and his management team were unable to do anything or unwilling to do anything. I think it was more the owner was not able or willing to do anything and not able or willing to empower others to do things, because now that we've had this opportunity to sort of have the licensing assigned to us for a franchise in Switzerland, and it wasn't a transfer that was made by the previous owner to us. It was not this sort of manner. There was other things going on in the background, and we were assigned this opportunity to essentially make sure the ELF would have a Swiss representative on the field for this season. So yeah, I mean, at the same time, it's a shame, but I'm very excited to be involved and in a role now that allows me to kind of do more in terms of management and trying to organize the people around and put a product out there. It's extremely difficult, though. I mean, just to be frank, it's a time deprivation that no team should have. Yeah, I mean, you really need those 4, 5, 6, 8 months to prepare for a season. And I think, coach, that was one of the things that we talked about as well, because you're like, Matt, I'd love to, but it's just not realistic. You're asking like me to turn water into wine here. And I was like, yeah, that was kind of the hope, but you know, so it's, I'm happy. I'm excited. I think we have a very good group that's moving at a breakneck speed. We're going to hit hurdles along the way, but like I said, the previous ownership did things in a way that was potentially not correct, that for sure was not correct, that was potentially not ethical, that was, you know, lots of people didn't get what they were entitled to last year, what they were promised, and lots of other people stuck their necks out and did things in good faith under that management, which they got heavily burned with. So it was Like I said, it wasn't a transfer from one ownership group to our ownership group. It was an intervention.
Okay. And who is now? This was a question from Sebastian Mühlenhof. He's a journalist, but a friend of us. Yeah. And he wanted to know who is now.
Do you know Sebastian?
So I don't know. I don't know if I know Sebastian or not. I mean, I know a few Sebastians, but I don't know if it's the same one.
Okay, good. Yeah. He's a journalist, a very good one. And he's always on top here on our podcast.
Yeah. Everyone's trying to find out who the new ownership group really is and whatnot. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if I'll make that public here today yet. It's something that probably needs to be discussed with the timing of when that'll all come out. But there's a small group of individuals that have kind of put together. We're having a lot of support, obviously, from the league in terms of, you know, how we get things done and meeting deadlines, which is, you know, practically impossible. Orders from things like Cape Pro, they're working with us as fast as they can to help us make sure that we have things in place. So a lot of the community around and including the ELF itself are really supportive of us trying to keep this alive. It's work. And like I said, just before, there's going to be hurdles that we hit. And I hope people understand that it's not really necessarily our fault specifically. It's just the reality of trying to organize and find fields and stadiums in 3 or 5 or 4 weeks before people are going to be on the field. I don't know if that's different in Germany. I think in North America, I could do it for sure. But over here, people tend to plan pretty far ahead. So
that's the one side. And then I'm sure some of the greenkeepers are all football. I don't know. Yeah. Do they ruin the soccer field or whatever? These are things you face probably also. And then they have so many concerns before they say, okay, you can play.
Yeah, exactly. So we're working on a little bit of a partnership right now, given our situation with one of the smaller clubs here that has a really amazing setup, considering that they're such a small club, which could be really ideal for us. And it's exactly that. We've gotten the sign off from the canton. We've gotten the sign off from the Gemeinde. We have the sign off from the team. We have the sign off from the lady who lives down the street. We have the sign off from Santa Claus. We have the sign off from everybody. But we're graciously hoping and waiting for Monday, because this gentleman's not available. He's on holiday.
Yeah, he's on holiday right now. He's on vacation and he comes back and
we have to wait.
Yeah. And I hope in this case, we're lucky enough that it's already a situation where there's a football team there. So they're already comfortable with football, which is hopefully going to help us out.
Yeah.
But I think it could be a really good development opportunity for the smaller club too. So opportunity for their coaches to kind of be around us and work with us, and you know, where we'll even do such things as have them to our film sessions and stuff, all the kind of things that they might not have, again going back to that higher level exposure of, which can help them as a program.
Okay. Yeah. And so you don't know exactly in which stadium you will play next season, because this was a question from Sebastian and also from myself, if you already know this.
I do know 5 of the games for sure that are blocked out. We have one that's still being decided, but I think that they're very close on figuring that out as well. I'm going to obviously wait for the marketing team to do a proper presentation on it. I'm not going to let that out of the bag just yet.
Okay.
But that part seems to be coming together relatively okay. And it's more about the practice fields. And of course, that first month where you want to get, you know, even 2 extra days a week somewhere. And it's just not that easy. So it might be a little bit of bouncing around. Okay. One practice at this field and then one practice at another field. And it's not an ideal situation, but eventually, in some of the investment discussions we're having ongoing with larger parties, eventually we need to find a place that we can call home, that we have our own real dedicated stadium and area that we can use. ideally somewhere central in Switzerland, so yeah, all the athletes can come from all the towns they come from. But yeah, I mean that's part of the bigger vision of things, but it's something we need to strive to get to.
Okay, and but the players, like they are committed so far. I think you have the same quarterback now, what I read. I don't
Yeah.
have the name now,
Yeah.
but
So we haven't had a situation where we've just said, look, we're going to honor your contracts. I mean, we're not even altering them. We're just saying, changing the paper, the company that they're associated with. We don't have time to go and essentially redevelop a new team. And it's also not really, wouldn't be fair to the athletes who have committed and not taken other opportunities now, locally or abroad. We have a handful of Swiss players that could play on other ELF teams. We have obviously the import players, which could play on other ELF teams. And like I said earlier, I mean, to lose a year of your prime time football life is detrimental. So, I mean, it's a win-win that we're able to put football on the field. And that's, I think, also why we have a really good support from the players that are still within our core. The imports that we have agreements with, they're very happy and excited that they're still going to get the opportunity to play this year. And we're just going to do our best. We're going to just do our best to make sure that it happens. Next year, we can already start planning. As soon as we get things situated, we can start planning now for next year, which is how things need to be done. You need to be talking about stadiums now for next year, not now for now. So yeah, I think it's worked out pretty good, and you'll see a lot of announcements that are the local players that were here before. And unfortunately, we've lost some due to lack of communication, lack of understanding what's going on from the previous management. And so that's a natural atrophy that happens. But hopefully we can win back the trust of them and the fans and the businesses and all the things that were sort of maybe scorn or hurt by the previous operation. Because I'm 100% sure that the people we have working on this project are fully devoted and fully working to make sure that there's going to be football here for a long time.
What was the reaction of the fans overall now in Switzerland?
I think it's hard to say. I mean, when I talk to people, obviously they're excited and happy to hear the news that there's going to be stuff going on. More personally, they're happy that I have the opportunity to be in a position with a little bit more authority and in how it gets done. But a lot of what you hear is the social media, and social media can be a double-edged sword. You know, it can make you feel real good and it can make you feel real bad. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. And what we're going to do, what we need to do is really just, you know, put the proof where the pudding is. Like you have to accomplish that the players are getting paid on time, that they don't have issues that way, that the organization of travel is done and correct, and that the fans, when they come, there's a good quality that they can watch and appreciate. Lots of hurdles going to be there this year, but we're definitely have the primary goal is to be as much transparency, as much communication, as much of the things that weren't in place as in the past. With this new ownership group.
Okay, so you think the fans who rooted last year will come back for the season as well?
I am sure some won't again, because many are. But I'm hopeful that most of the fans love football enough and appreciate football enough and appreciate the effort that all the athletes are putting in, and we appreciate the effort that the volunteers put in, because it's a big volunteer army. It's none. I don't know if very many, a couple of the teams might be at the point where they can start paying most of their staffs, but a lot of them are smaller markets and can't do that. So, I'm hopeful that all the audiences and all the people that get to come, and appreciate the best level of football in Europe, also understand and appreciate that it's not that easy for everyone, and that they come and support us. I mean, this is what we really need. We need everyone's support. We need to get a new record of a high attendance in Switzerland for a football game this year. And if we do, and we have everyone's support, everything will come together in due time with the development and plans that we have.
Okay.
So, Johannes, this means we both have to go to Switzerland to give them the chance for a new record.
Yeah, exactly.
To support them, yeah. We
need
over
to get to at least 32 or 3,500 this year for a game. One, we have to do it. So maybe, and you know what? Maybe if we also, given this late turmoil and the late startup, we might surprise some people and have some good results, which might drive crowd even in more, saying, oh, wait, there is something surprisingly good going on here. And sometimes having a bigger team doesn't mean it's a better team. Sometimes having a smaller team is you know,
it's not too bad.
Puts more on the players, makes it tougher for them, but it also sometimes works.
I remember the NFL Europe, they had 43 players in a team. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's just 43 per team. That's not a lot of football players for a team.
It's not, especially once you start getting into week 8 and 9.
Yeah. And players played both ways. I think most of them played special teams as well.
Yeah.
So that's it was also a tough league, and there were good football games there.
So I don't know if I'm allowed to ask questions. You did say that at the start, but
you can.
Yeah. I would like to bring up a topic. What is your thought on the import rules of the ELF? 4 Americans, 6 Europeans. And obviously there's always talk about, should it be raised? Should it be lowered? What's your opinions on that?
Johannes, you want?
No, start, Martin. I'm not so big involved in this like you do.
That's interesting, Matt. Because honestly, I would like that it's open, but it's a lot of money to do that. Mm-hmm. So having more American players would really improve the game a lot. But on the other side, it would be a disadvantage for the national players because they cannot be as good as the Americans are about club system, school system, whatever. So you have to find a rule for that. But especially because I think the offensive and defensive line they cause problems. I would open that more and would say, you can have maybe 2 extra offensive linemen. They can just play on the offensive line. They are not allowed to play fullback. They are not allowed to whatever. So because how do I say that? At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how often we talk about X's and O's, how fast you see a 40-yard time, you win and lose a football game on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And there are 9 to 10 people working very hard at this part of the game. And I think there are a lack of quality in these positions.
Yeah.
And I would maybe put it more like that I would allow offensive linemen and defensive linemen from the US more.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a good quarterback, that's a national quarterback, that's always the other question. And in my coaching the last years in the GFL, I always tried and very often tried to really push a national quarterback, and I work with national quarterbacks because I think it's a good way to develop young players, but you need to have a special person for that. And I was fortunate enough always having this special person to do that. I don't see it on this position that you can make a rule. You need the possibility to have an American quarterback.
Yeah, I agree very, very much with you, Martin. I think that one of the things I will try to push in the GM opportunities that I have for discussions about these topics with the league is I really believe, and I believe it not necessarily just our league, but all the leagues around Europe should potentially allow teams to have one more American import, which must be an O lineman. Like this That's it. They have to be an O-lineman because it's one of the positions, and Germany isn't so affected anymore. They've kind of gotten past that. There's a lot of big men out there now, and they're really have developed far there. Austria as well, but they've been playing for 35 plus years, and all the imports that usually come over are guys like me, DBs, quarterbacks, receivers, maybe running back, occasionally linebacker, but you very rarely get an O-lineman that's comes in as an American
Yes,
import. So all the kids out there, they don't have that mentor. They don't have that, hey, I got to play with this guy. He played in this NFL. He played in the CFL. He played in the Alabama. He played in Michigan. These are things that help young players really understand. And then, and when it comes more to the ELF, because there's the talk of potentially lowering the European imports, but then Germany is just going to be more and more dominant if you have that situation. I think they should keep the count the same, but potentially add one O-lineman that's an American, which then you have the opportunity to really protect those quarterbacks. The ELF has had a bad track record of quarterbacks being injured. And I just think that would be very, very helpful. But those are conversations which are on a higher level. I don't get to make those decisions. I get to make those opinions, but not those decisions. And but that's just my thought on it.
But maybe we
So
start here something in our podcast. So maybe somebody's listening.
something
Something
big,
big we will
Johannes.
start, you
We
know.
start something big.
So I guys, gentlemen, I appreciate the time, but I just want to give you a forewarning. I have about 7 minutes left that I can continue discussing. And so if there's any particular questions.
Then my last question from my side would be, like, now the new head coach is Val Gunn. He was already coaching for the Rams and Panthers and for the Istanbul Rams. So how was the communication with him? And so what was his thoughts about this situation now to say, okay, I do this now?
Well, like I said, I mean, at the very start, when I talked to Martin, I had several conversations ongoing. When we learned that Norm wasn't going to be making the return trip, Norm is still with us, by the way. He's working with us as a consultant ambassador for us, and he's gonna, still have input, working with the OC and breaking down films. And he's a wonderful man, and really, really appreciate how he came over here last year and gave us a really good start with the guards. But of course, now we have Val, and Val is our head coach for our Mercenaries, our new team. It's not the guards anymore. And one of the things that I was really important to me, which is why I had also the conversation with Martin, was finding somebody who understood the ELF. Understanding somebody who understands European football. It's not that easy for a North American to come from the NFL elite or the Division One elites and walk into European football. It's a different beast. It's a different model. And Norm always said how impressed he was with how guys go work all day and then come to practice and then leave at like 10:30 at night and drive home and get up for work again. And he was more impressed than anything. But it's no matter what, it's a bit of a shell shock for a coach coming over like that. So I needed to find somebody who understood the league, understood European football, firstly, because this situation wasn't going to be an easy one. So I really kind of went through my network and through my network's network to find people that fit that bill. And the conversation with Val wasn't a conversation that coaching was realistic either. And then he was helping me also via his network, and we had further discussions about other ideas and other concepts related to sports and developing the game and investments. And I think he kind of appreciated how hard he saw our local team, our little internal team here working. And I think he's always had the itch to continue coaching, but he didn't want to get into a situation where he was going to be the GM, the coach, the laundry boy, the taxi, this sort of situation that he's had in the past. So, he kind of sprung it on me a little bit. He said, "Well, what do you think about me?" Because I did ask him, the first question I asked him was, "Do you want to coach?" And he was like, "Well, it's really fast. I don't know. I mean, I have to think about it, but I could maybe help you with some of the other development issues you're going through, and I could help you with my network, find some coaches." So he's been really great, and I really think he's going to be an excellent fit for us. He's got a very excellent demeanor and obviously a great background in coaching and as a player and has played Div 1. And so he's already been talking to many of the players and imports and discussing how that's going to work. And we're still looking to sign one or two more coaches that are ideally already in Europe. But we're going to see how that works out. But I'm really happy about that announcement, and I think it's going to be a good fit given the situation we're in.
Hey, thank you for this. Martin, do you have a last question for Matt?
No, I have, my list is done,
Your list is
Matt.
done.
I could talk with you about football so long.
Yeah,
So,
we had
but
a pretty good chat the other day. It was
yes,
it kind of
yes.
went on and on too.
Yeah,
It was like a hello, and I kind of, we got into it all, the long story, and Martin was like, "Ooh, wow. I'm not envious of you, Matt. I'm not envious." But
No, no.
we ended up talking about football and stories and the different teams and the different successes around Europe for a long time, and it's nice that
Yeah.
it was such a comfortable and easy conversation.
Football conversation's always good, Johannes. Always good.
Always good, yeah. So maybe we should make a follow up in some month or so during your season or so. We will see. So yeah, thank you very much for joining today. And if you have any last words for our Football How Now community, you're free to go.
Yeah, I would just gladly reach out to everybody who's listening, and especially around Switzerland and anyone on the outside borders who we really would love your support. It's not just about the people who are here. It's about the players on the field. It's about the community. It's about the future of football for Switzerland. So we've bitten up off a lot, and we have to try and chew through it, but we're going to get there, and every day is going to be one day closer and one day better than the product that was there before. So all we need is as much support as possible, and we hope you love football as much as we do.
So thank you very much, and
Thank you, Matt.
yeah,
Thank you. I appreciate it.
thanks a lot, and have a good season, and hopefully not so stressfully task for you to be the water boy and so on.
We're going to hopefully, as soon as we get this field stuff nailed down, we can start filling some of those roles a little bit better.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm
Great.
sure. So,
Thanks very much, guys.
all
I wish you
right.
a great day.
Yeah, you too,
Thank
Matt.
you.
Thank you for being with us, and we stay in contact.
For sure. For sure.
I'm sure we visit you one day in Switzerland.
We'd happily have you. Just
You
let me know
just
when.
swing by.
Yeah, I'll come
Perfect.
over for a road trip. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we're happy to have you. We'll,
All
maybe we
right.
can do maybe we can do another podcast before a game or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why
Maybe we can
not?
do
Yeah.
that. Yeah,
Yeah.
would be
Okay.
great.
Thank you very
All
much,
right,
and
Matt, have a
have a
great
good time.
day.
Yeah.
Bye bye
Bye.
now.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.